Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, thankful to have what we consider another God-given opportunity who might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. Do sincerely appreciate all who tune in. Thank you very much, not only for tuning in, but for praying for the work, praying that as we try to prepare to come this way, that the things that would be up on our heart would truly be those things that the good Lord would see would be the most beneficial to all who might tune in. I believe very much that it is the Lord who knows just that very thing, what it would be, what would be the best thing to consider. So we try to pray and pray earnestly and humbly and ask for that direction and guidance, and just appreciate so much those of you who that help us in that matter. I believe praying one for the other is a direct instruction from the Word of God, and thank you for doing so. As we've been trying to come this way for the last several times here, those of you who've been following along with the program realize we've been addressing a topic in a series on the kingdom, trying to just take time and ease through the subject and the information that's associated with it. It's been something that's been very much a blessing to study and prepare and try to come this way and deliver the thoughts which that we find. And I hope that it has likewise been a blessing for you. Though there is a series, try to remind everyone that just because perhaps you missed the last one does not mean that the one that we're getting ready to address at this current time in this message will not be something that would stand up on its own. But it does help to get a larger picture of the thought and the topic to go back and consider the previous messages. If you'd like to do that, those are out on the internet, or that you, if you have internet access, you could go and find those and consider them. The web address is given at the end of the program, but I'll share it with you at this time if you like to try to write that down. It is at fisherofmenbaptistic.com, fisherofmenbaptistic.com, and that's like Baptist with the IC on the end, baptistic.com. And you can find a lot of resources there. And in the area where sermons are mentioned, you'll find a group relating to the kingdom. And in those parts that are there, you'll find that that is a record of what has been presented here. This is the eighth part of the series. As we try to take up some thoughts, we'll be trying to read, good Lord willing, out of John 3, trying to take some thoughts from there. But before we do, we want to go to the Lord in prayer, feel like we need to. And then after prayer, we'll try to take up the thought. If it's to where you can and like to join with us then, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the great rich blessings of God and Thy Son Christ Jesus. We're thankful for Your great mercy and long-suffering toward us, knowing, Father, many times we come so short and trying to come along life's journey, many times where that things ought to do are left undone, and those that ought to be left undone are too frequently done. So thank You for Your mercy. Ask You to forgive us and cleanse us and strengthen us and help us. For as we read in Thy Word, we know that in our flesh dwells no good thing, but there's strength in Christ. Thee, our Father, and we seek that and ask You to help us ever, day by day, that we might be found walking in the good pathway of God. We pray, Father, that You'd remember those many requests that's been made, the many sad and needy circumstances about us, things, Lord, which that we fear we only have the very, just a very brief glimpse of just how deep the needs are about us. We pray, God, for each and every one struggling, and we pray, Father, for the grace that we might have words of kindness, might have wisdom, might indeed be blessed with the grace of God to be a neighbor indeed to those who that are about us. Open our eyes to these things and grant us wisdom to know what we ought to do. Pray, God, that we You remember those especially who are lost and undone, those who know Thee not, nor the free pardon of sin, who stand in jeopardy of missing out on heaven when they cross from time to eternity. Pray, God, that there would be a great awakening, an awakening where that the true sight of the condition of souls would be made apparent. Help us, Lord, in following after Christ, we'd be vessels and instruments in Your hand to be beneficial, helping lost souls see the great offering of God at Calvary, and put all their trust thereupon to find the great gift of God in soul salvation. Pray, God, for those who have been saved, that there'd be guidance and direction that they would find, leading them to the great house of God. Pray for the church. You bless her, Lord, to be such as You'd have her be. Awaken her to the will of God, and let her be that stands and stands ready to do the things You'd have her do. And we pray for our country, knowing, God, that we need Your help every day. Pray that You'd grant us that we'd have leaders who come forward and do those things that are pleasing to God. Help us to know how to support them as we ought. Again, we pray for Your blessings upon this work. Thank You for the blessings already received. Direct and guide in that which is good and right in Your sight. Help us to understand what that is. We'll be careful to give You the praise, both now and forevermore. For we ask not these things in our own name, for our own sake, but we ask it in the name of Christ Jesus. And for His name's sake, we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, this is the eighth part of a series relating to the subject of the kingdom. In the most recent portion of this study, we had taken up some thoughts out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and compared those with some points from Galatians chapter 5. The main essence or the main part of that series or that portion of that series was to say, in looking at the kingdom, that we find very plainly in the scriptures that those who are engaged in certain practices, who continually give themselves to that, to those types of things that are listed, as we had tried to point out from different places in the scriptures, we find the scriptures to teach us those who that are continually given to those items that they'll have no inheritance in the kingdom. So, series, part 7, we tried to consider, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is that talking about our soul salvation standing in jeopardy, or is that something else? And if you'd like to go back and study through those parts or those scriptures that were presented, you can find that in part 7. However, having dealt with this essence about the comparison of salvation to this state of being having an inheritance in the kingdom. As we prayed and thought about and reflected upon that, it seemed very needy to take a look at, well, then what is salvation? If we find this other item related to the kingdom, as we did in our last study, the last part of our study, we then want to read John chapter 3 and just consider, well, then what is soul salvation as God tells us and describes it for us in His Word? So we want to read from John 3, try to take up some thoughts, and invite you to consider these thoughts with us. And as always, don't take anything that we say just because we say it. But we ask you to turn to the Lord and ask Him for His guidance through His Word. No one knows His Word, meaning the Bible. No one knows it better than He does. And He is well able and willing to help us to understand it better if we're just willing to take what it says and not try to add in or mix in any perhaps thoughts that we may have. So I'm satisfied that with this ability of the Lord, when we're willing to come to Him in His way, well, then indeed we can find the truth. But we offer this to you to consider as you go forward, hopefully, in an effort that we all should be making and trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. If it's where you can, then, like, turn with us. We're in John chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Here we find it written, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? With the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of John chapter 3. We've read from verse 1 down through verse 12 for some thoughts to consider at this time. Notice again in the scriptures here how that this last verse that we ended with get a real clear point that the Lord is making in this conversation with this man named Nicodemus. And the Lord is saying, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In this question that he puts to Nicodemus, I find that he is indeed using earthly things. He's explaining to Nicodemus, and I'm using an earthly example to describe to you heavenly things. Nicodemus, I've told you about being born again. And I notice in this that when a Nicodemus comes to the Lord, we read through the New Testament and find a number of times how that individuals, they were waiting on the appearing of the kingdom. At that time, the prophecy had been given. Prophecy had been given, especially, I think, out of such places as Daniel. It comes to mind, but I know that's not the only place where that the prophets had been given instruction from God and had things revealed to them of the Lord so it could be documented. That people at this time, as the Romans had seized control of the civilized world, it was apparent that God's work in bringing His kingdom forward, that it was right at hand at that time, and Christ Jesus even came preaching. I know in a previous parts of this series, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 were mentioned, where that the Lord came and speaking that the time was at hand, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So this had a real telling point to these people, because they were waiting in anticipation of the kingdom and looking for it. Nicodemus being a ruler of the Jews. And later on in the book of John, we find where Nicodemus was even among the council of the elders. So no doubt these are thoughts that were fresh on their mind. And so here comes Nicodemus at night inquiring of Jesus. He'd been convinced by the things which that had been taking place around the Lord, the very works that the Lord were doing. These works told of the nature of Christ, and it was persuasive to Nicodemus. So Nicodemus comes at night to have a conversation or to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord, knowing what was on Nicodemus's heart, when Nicodemus comes to him, Christ gets right to the point of how being born again is a first step. It's a must step in regard to the kingdom. First off, the Lord makes it plain that, and I'd like to go back and make sure that we've got it up on our heart and in our mind, that the Lord is using earthly things to speak of heavenly things. And I notice here, when the Lord is asked this question, that he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ puts the new birth right in front of the kingdom. Don't even think about being able to see the kingdom. And in this word, as you use this word, this phrase, be able to see, you consider that as you study the scriptures, and it's going to become apparent that there is a kind of sight, a spiritual sight, which comes after soul salvation. Or I should put it this way, it accompanies soul salvation. When a person's born again, they have their sight fixed so that eyes are opened as you read through the scriptures. Check that phrase, having your eyes opened or having your vision healed, that your sight can be impacted by the work of the Spirit of God in the new birth, so that as a result of the new birth, being able to perceive the spiritual things of God accompanies soul salvation. And the Lord is simply saying, you will not be able to perceive. You're not going to be able to get a vision, a sight, to understand this nature of the kingdom, except you're born again. Except a man be born again, the Lord says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was among the group looking for the kingdom. But they're looking with a sight, with a vision, which is earthly. They're looking with a vision which is of the flesh, of the natural man. But these things are spiritual. These are heavenly things. And before an individual can perceive the spiritual things, they must be born again. This is what the Lord is saying here. Think about a number of times where that such, like writing over in the writings in the Corinthian letters, where that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, explains how that the veil was upon the hearts of those who that had not yet believed. But if their heart would turn to the Lord, then they would be able to perceive these things which that were being taught, these mysteries, as they're called, mysteries of the kingdom. Not so mysterious that we can't understand them, but they're out of the reach, out of the perception of those who are yet to be born again. Just facts, just letters on a page, but that's a real life experience for those who that are born again. And they can see it because of what God does for us in soul salvation. Nicodemus goes forward and he asks the question, you know, you tell an individual that they must be born again, and our minds naturally go to our natural birth. Well, we of course, how did we enter into this world? Well, we entered after conception, in the process of development, through our period of coming to the point to where that we are born into the world. And while we think back about this time and realize that someone speaking about being born, thinking about entering the world, and as we're entering the world, we all have that same experience, thinking back about that. In Nicodemus' minds, his mind goes there, because he says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, Jesus, he doesn't let him get off this that easy, but just making a comment that this sounds like a like a absurd notion what we're going to enter the second time into our mother's womb and be born. Christ, he ignores that because there's an earthly matter that he's using, an earthly experience which everybody can relate to. This is something common to us all. Everybody can relate to being born. Now the Lord is using that earthly example to bring a spiritual point to mind, to bring it to light, using the earthly to give us a spiritual. And he says this, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And notice then, he's talking of the earthly. We realize the water that accompanies the birth of this, our person, as we enter into the world, the water that accompanies that. But he makes a point here, and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he runs a parallel. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the Lord is saying, just as our outward man, our flesh, this body of ours, and there is a water that accompanies that birth, just as this is a earthly experience, which we're all aware, there is a spiritual experience for the spiritual part of us, which that is also a must if we're to enter the kingdom. We must be born again. The Lord didn't say that we should be, didn't say that it's an important thing. He said we must, if we're to enter the kingdom. The new birth must precede entering the kingdom. There must be soul salvation. We must be born again. And without the new birth, this subject about the kingdom is a mystery. Now he goes further to explain this. And here we get into this statement of what it is to be born again. For the Lord goes into verse 7, says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Think about the wind for a moment. Now, you and I, we all realize that you cannot see the wind. There's no way. But just because we can't see the wind, that does not hinder us from fully understanding that the wind is present. Well, if someone came up to us, and we're outside, and as we're outside, someone comes up to us and we say it's a windy day, and they say, how can you tell? And they're standing right there beside of us outside, and it's obvious that the wind is blowing. If we were to say to somebody, well, boy, it's a windy day, and they were to say, how could you tell? Well, we would look over at them like there was something going on, that we would wonder what they were talking about. Why did they not understand? Because it's so obvious. So there are things which that we encounter in our lives that we cannot see. But no one, we do not accept that it's a fact or an experience that others can just ignore and talk away, because it's obvious. It is so plain. So obviously the wind was blowing and someone acted like that it was not blowing at all, or they were unaware of it, or they couldn't tell. If they were acting like they couldn't tell, we would think that person was up to something, acting suspiciously, but we would not just accept that a person could not tell. And just because they couldn't see it doesn't mean we can't tell it's there. And so it is with the Spirit. We might deny the interaction of the Spirit of God with us, but even though we would deny it, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It doesn't mean that it just goes away. It's a point that God, He calls upon every creature, all of us, to acknowledge that the work of the Spirit. He calls upon us to accept, and not just accept, but to, just as the wind's blowing and we can tell it, He expects the same sort of a reaction from us in regard to the Spirit. The wind blows where it lists. We don't know if it seems like it takes circular patterns at times, blowing from one direction at one moment and things change, atmospheric circumstances occur, causing it to shift and change. But even though it these things occur, we still know it's there. So it is with the Spirit. So it is with the Spirit, the Lord is saying. And I find that when this is brought to us, it's helping us to see that God definitely interacts with us. He definitely wants us to know that He's present, dealing with us. Or as I remember an author of a book I read a number of years ago now, speaking of the wooing of God, how God woos and tries to attract and tries to summon us and beckon us, that we would put our trust in Him and not oppose and be enemies or try to govern the situation and bring God into subjection to our own will, but to help us to see, based solely on His virtues and His character, His unblemishable character and might and absolute love that He has expressed to us, that we would yield completely to His will, humbling ourselves unto Him with a great desire to serve Him as He truly deserves. Out of Ephesians chapter 2, I think about these scriptures as we again put this in the context of soul salvation versus the kingdom. When the Lord said, for Paul writing of what the Lord has done for us, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So soul salvation, it is by grace. It's an unearned experience. Salvation, by grace are we saved through faith. And we find that this salvation, that it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. When we're saved, it's not because of anything we've done. It's because of the grace of God. And I find just in closing remark out of Romans 11, find in Romans 11 this about a comparison between grace and works. It says, if it be by grace, this is Romans 11 verse 6, if it be by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace and work is so opposed to each other. They are opposites. They are different items altogether. So much so that if something is received by grace, there's no way that it can be accounted for of works. Otherwise, work is just simply not work. But if it be of work, then it is no more of grace. They are absolutely so different that it cannot be a blending of the two. It's either one or the other. The absolute nature, the attributes, the what makes grace grace and what makes works works are so different that there's no blending of it. So, as God says, it is by grace that we're saved through faith. This work of the Spirit in being born again is by grace. That is the unmerited favor from God, but it's by grace through faith. And this faith must come from our own heart in the virtues, in the character, in humble believing, trusting with all of our hearts on God in His message. This has been our message. Our time is swiftly coming on. Hope some of the points have been brought out. It's been helpful. If so, you be careful to thank the Lord for that, because it's obvious that He's the one who helps when there's good and helpful things that's brought forth. So be sure to thank Him for that. Thank you again for tuning in. Pray for us. We'll be careful to pray for you as well. May God richly bless you and yours would be our prayers. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.